Okay, world. Today's daf is Sechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. And we are right at the top of the daf, and we're getting into the main meat of the Mishnah. So next thing the Mishnah brought up was Shvuat HaPikadon Ketzad, Tenli Pikadon Sheyeshli Biyadecha. Then we went on to describe the difference. And we had like really different approaches over here. Whether you need to, the ultimate approach was you need to say Shvuah on every single one of them separately. So in any of the cases, let's say where you had five people that were being Tovea, or you had five different types of Tviot, you had like a Pikadon and you had a Halva'ah and you had an Avedah and so on, or you had five different Minim, five different species in the same type of thing. So I lent you or I gave you a pikadon of these five different things, chita, seora, kusmim, and so on. So in all of those cases, the question is, what brings them into a separate shvua for each one? And where is it considered to be one generalized shvua? So we had all these different approaches in the Mishnah, and we're going to go through them again in the Braita. And let's see exactly how to understand the differences between the various shitot, which is not all that obvious. So, Tana Rabbanan, in the case where a person was kalal, he went and made a general kalal of his shvuah. So in that case, he would only be chay of one. But if he was parat, and he went into the details, then he would be chay of al kol achat v'achat. Now, I mean, that doesn't really tell us very much. We don't know what the meaning of kalal is, and we don't know what the meaning of parat is. Now, there's really three different main issues that are involved over here. Obviously, if the guy makes a general response and he says, I don't know any of you, anything. So that's one shavua. Shavua, I don't owe you anything. That's for sure a kalal. Now, how about if he says, I don't owe you, and now he starts talking about the different meaning. I don't owe you chita, seora, kusmim. Or how about if he says, I don't owe you, and hashvua, I don't owe you, seorin, vichitim, vikusmim. So now he uses a vav hachibur. It's not quite clear whether the vav hachibur turns it all into a klal, or whether the vav hachibur actually isolates each one and makes it into a prat. Perhaps the lack of the vav hachibur makes it all one thing, because he doesn't even need to feel that he's got to include them one with the other. So there's three possibilities in understanding the differences over here. And Rabbi Meir's general rule that if he was kalal, then the halacha is that he's chayav one, and if he's parat, he's chayav on each one, is very, very unclear. So Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, and we now understand that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is going to be our key to understanding what Rabbi Meir was saying. So Rabbi Yehuda, obviously coming to argue with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you say shvu'ah lo lecha, velo lecha, velo lecha. So if you use a vav, and you mentioned a vav between each one, and so if it's five people, it's v'lo lecha v'lo. If it's five different things, it's v'chitin, v'kusmim. If it was five different types, it's pikadon, v'halva'ah, v'avidah. In each one of these cases, it's the vav, says Rabbi Yehuda, that turns it into a separate shvua on each one of them. So then you would be chayef, I'll call achat v'achat. Now that seems to imply that that is bedavka the case that Rabbi Meir was not talking about. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's considered to be prat if you put in the vav, and therefore you're chayav kol achas v'achas, which implies that actually Rabbi Meir was saying that no, if you said a vav between them, then that would be a klal, and you would only be chayav one. So we're going to get back to that diak, which will enable us to pinpoint Rabbi Meir a little bit better. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, that if you said lo lecha velo lecha, and you then said shvua at the end, then you're chayav kol achat v'achat, because then each one of the details you are making a shvua about. And Rabbi Shimon, he goes to the extreme, And he says you're never chayev on each one separately until you actually say the word shvua on each one separately. So shvua lo lacha, shvua lo lacha, shvua lo lacha. Or shvua, I'm not chayev chita, shvua lo saorim, shvua lo kusmim. Or shvua she'en li en lecha biyadi pikadon. Shvua she'en lecha biyadi sumet yad. Shvua she'en lecha biyadi aveda, and so on. So that's the most extreme shita, that you'd only be chayev if you actually are porate the word shvua for each one of them. Now, there's a machlokes in the Amoraim about how to understand the machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, this of course not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the Talmud of Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda. So he says that my Rabbi Shmuel understood that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are mirror images, one of the other. And that what Rabbi Meir calls a klal, that you would be chayev, only one, that klal of Rabbi Meir, that is the case that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is the prat. So in other words, when Rabbi Yehuda openly stated that with the vav, lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha, Rabbi Yehuda said that is the case where you would be chayev on each one. That very case is the case that Rabbi Meir would have said, you're chayev only one shvua for all of them. Why? Because that vav ended up making it all one big shvua. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it's a klal. And the klal of Rabbi Yehuda, where he said lo lecha without the vav, which was clearly what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say, that in that case, that klal, that was what Rabbi Meir was calling the prat. So without a vav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there we see it as a statement in which I don't need to have separate parts. There's no separate parts. I have one shvua. I don't owe you. Okay, so then that would be a klal. Masha Inkein, according to Rabbi Meir, if we were claiming that Rabbi Meir is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, and the vav, the vil olecha, according to Rabbi Meir, is the klal, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda was arguing, and he was saying, no, if you say vil olecha, it's a prat, so then obviously, if vilo, according to Rabbi Meir, is the klal, then the lo is after the prat. So if he had said vav, according to Rabbi Meir, he means to incorporate it all in and as one statement. But if he didn't say vav, then he was aiming the word shvua at each one separately. So it was as if he said shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha. And they are absolutely mirror images. That's how Shmuel understood the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which of course is reading a lot into it, but we have very little to go on. All we know is that Rabbi Meir mentioned the difference between Kalal and Prad, and that Rabbi Yehuda mentions a case which he calls Prad. So we're going to see what each Shmuel is being medayik from, and Rabbi Yochanan, who does not understand it that way, we'll see what he's being medayik. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, no. Not so. There's no reason to turn this into a mirror image machlokas. Actually, what we could say is, look, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree. Hakol modin. If you use the vav, so then that makes it a prat. And when Rabbi Yehuda was saying the vilo is what Rabbi Yehuda says, if you said vilo, then you would be chayev on each one. Rabbi Meir agrees to that. And Rabbi Yehuda was bringing out, well, now, wait a minute, Rabbi Meir. I would agree with you about the velo with the vav, but I wouldn't agree with you about the other case. So what are we arguing about, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Lo nechleku, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir only arguing if you did not say the vav. According to Rabbi Meir, that's also considered to be a prat. The fact that you mention each one separately, what's the difference whether it's with a vav or without a vav? According to Rabbi Meir, all of these cases were separate mentions. Separate mentions are prat by definition. Rabbi Meir omer prat. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that actually if you don't use a vav, then it's considered to be a klal, because you're just saying what the whole shvua is together without there being separate entities that need to be incorporated together with the vav. So in other words, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is, well, now, wait a minute. Ve'lo lecha. Yes, I agree with you. That's a prat. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Exact opposite of Shmuel, who said that Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, I disagree with you. I say, ve'lo lecha is a prat. On the contrary, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda was agreeing, and he was telling Rabbi Meir, I agree with you about the ve'lo lecha. Yes. But I disagree with you about your saying that even without the vav achibur, that it's still considered to be pratim. According to me, that's considered to be, Rabbi Yudaimer, that is a klal. So we're talking about what Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda agree on. So then what would be the klal according to Rabbi Meir? The klal according to Rabbi Meir is very simple. Where you said the word shvua she'ein lachem, you don't owe me anything. Or for all of you guys, I don't owe you anything, all of you guys. Or if the person had mentioned chitim, sarim, kusmim, I have nothing. Or same thing, if the guy had mentioned separately a loan and an aveda and a pikadon, he said, I don't have anything. He didn't specify at all the details. That's the klal of Rabbi Meir. So now what's the machlokas between Shmuel's approach? What is he basing it on? And Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So Shmuel is saying, look carefully at the Braita, and you'll see I'm right. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look carefully at the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and you'll see that I'm right. Shmuel is medayik in the Braita. So Shmuel says like this. If Rabbi Yehuda stresses one case, what's the case? With the vav. Vilolecha, vilolecha. And he's saying, now that case is prat. So he must be coming to tell me that after hearing that Rabbi Meir disagrees, Bichlal de Shamil Rabbi Meir, I heard Rabbi Meir saying that the Vav HaChibur makes it a klal. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, no, no, no. Actually, that would be a prat. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that you can't bring a raya from the Braita here. Maybe it goes like this. Both of them, according to Rabbi Meir, are a prat. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, if there's a vav, then I agree to you. But if it says lolacha without a vav, then I disagree with you. And I hold that that case is a klal and not a prat. So Shmuel says, just bitzat asfara, says back to Rabbi Meir, I mean, tell me something. If you're going to argue with somebody, doesn't it make more sense to talk about what you're arguing about? I mean, why would Rabbi Yehuda turn around and say, well, I agree with you. Yeah, and what don't you agree with me? Well, you understand what I mean. Now, come on. If you're arguing with somebody, said, what should you say? I disagree with you in this case. That's how I'm learning it. I think that's pretty normal. If people are arguing, they don't look for what they agree about first. And then not mention anything else. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say, well, I only agree with you. I don't care what you agree with me. You tell me what you're arguing with me about. So therefore, Tanya Shmuel, does this make sense? Ada odi leuduye. Before he starts agreeing with him, let him tell us what he's arguing about. Liflagala lifluge. The way I'm learning, Rabbi Yehuda was coming to say precisely what it is that he's arguing about with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. According to what you're learning, he never even mentions it. So that is a simple way of understanding the Braita. But Rabbi Yochanan says, take a look at our Mishnah, okay? Rabbi Meir says in the Mishnah, Shvua she'ein lachem biyadi. That's the klal. Now, there's no denying. This is what the Mishnah actually says. The Braita never mentioned anything like that. So if the case that Rabbi Meir defines in the Mishnah as being the case, which is the klal. So obviously anything other than that, whether it's with a vav, whether it's out of vav, anything that specifies and spells out the details is what he's calling the details. And when he's talking about the general statement, he's talking about the general statement that he gave us in the Mishnah, which is nothing, none of you, none of the above. But the moment that he starts talking about this and this and this, I don't care whether it's with a vav or without a vav. So there, because if you're going to tell me that actually Rabbi Yochanan agrees, Rabbi Meir agrees that if you put in a vav, it would still be a klal, then why the heck did he bring as an example of the klal anything or anybody? It would make much more sense to make a bigger chiddush and to say, even if you went ahead and you used a vav, it would still be a klal, right? Because Isa Kadaitach, if you're going to tell me that vilo with a vav is a klal according to Rabbi Meir, then instead of using the example that he uses, Adamashmalan Shwaja in Lachembiadi, so instead of telling us that case, which is obviously a klal, he should tell us the Chiddush, Ashmeinan, that if you say a shvua lolacha, velolacha, velolacha, even that is a klal. The kosher came, a shvua that I don't know any of you, or I don't know any of the above, right? So it's very clear if the only example that Rabbi Meir can come up with of a klal is not mentioning the details at all, so then it's obvious. The only meaning to klal, according to Rabbi Meir, is literally klal. Nothing, no one, all of the above, and so on. That's how I see it. Because then he should have said, shvua lo lecha velo lecha velo lecha v'koshiken shvua she'en lechem. So how's Shmuel going to get out of that? And Shmuel has an extremely weak and difficult to accept response. So Shmuel says, well, the point is that according to Rabbi Meir, the saying of anything other than lolacha lolacha, even if you say vilolacha, is precisely the same as saying ein lechem biyadi. I mean, why would he have to spell it out? Which is weird. I mean, if there's mamash machlokas, as Tosis points out, if there's mamash machlokas between him and Rabbi Yochanan about what it means, it's sort of strange to say, why do you need to spell it out? It's obvious. I mean, it certainly wasn't obvious to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, but anyway, Shmuel doesn't really have anything other than that as a comeback to the mashmaut in the Mishnah. He's simply saying, look, if you, maybe I would have agreed with you if all I saw was the Mishnah. But now that I see the Braita, I mean, how are you going to explain the way that Rabbi Yehuda responded to Rabbi Meir if you don't agree with me? It's a very strange response to tell someone I agree with you and then never say what I argue with you on. Okay, so this was the Bachlokas in the two Shitot. Now, the problem is, on Shmuel, if you take a look at our Mishnah, it's not lolacha, vilolacha, vilolacha. The Mishnah actually happens to discuss a case of vav. As a matter of fact, it happens to discuss four cases of vav. But we'll take them all slowly, okay? So the case that the Mishnah talks about where there were five people, right? So it says over there, beferish, lolacha. The guy says, lolacha, I don't know you, vilolacha, I don't know you, vilolacha. And he makes a shvua in all of these cases. And I thought you said, I mean, isn't astamish as Rabbi Meir, right? And didn't you say that according to Rabbi Meir, vilolacha, you said, oh, that's so totally a klal that it's exactly the same as saying any of you. But the Mishnah says not like that. The Mishnah says, vilolacha yochayav kolachas v'yachas. Well, the Mishnah was actually quoted wrongly, said Shmuel. It really should say in the Mishnah, lolacha without the vav. Okay, Shmuel, fine. A mistake. So let's take the next case in the Mishnah. Tainli pikadon tzumet yad v'gazel v'aveda sheyesh lecha biyadi. And it says over there, ein lecha biyadi lo, v'lo, v'lo. So not pikadon, v'lo tzumet yad. So it's with a vav again. Well, you know, change that too. That's obviously a mistake. So it should say just all the same. Not vav, but rather tzumet yad gezavavin, without the vav. All right, well, let's take the next case. Ten li chitim usorim v'kusmim sheyesh li biyadecha. And the guy says, ein lecha biyadi chitim v'sorim, with a vav, v'kusmim, with a vav. And again, it says, Yochayev HaKolachas V'Yachas, with a vav. Now, according to you, with a vav is a klal, darn it. Well, it's also a mistake. It should say, without a vav. Shmuel. You've now made this Tana into a total idiot. I mean, everything that he says, he doesn't really mean what he says, you know. So this Tana you're trying to tell me is I Tana Kol Hachi Shabish Tani Valesil. He's so confused that he's saying everything backwards. So we got to fix up everything that it says in the Mishnah. Does that really make sense? Okay, fine. You're right. That doesn't really make sense. But I have another explanation. What's the other explanation? Well, you were saying that since this is the Shita that Rebbe's quoting in the Mishnah, so normally the Stam Mishnah the Rebbe quotes is Rebbe Meir, and that therefore this is indicative of Rebbe Meir holding the opposite of what I'm claiming he's holding. That's what you're telling me, right? So my alternative is to say that this Mishnah is not Rebbe Meir. So what, Rebbe's quoting somebody else? No. Rebbe's telling us his Shita, and we happen to know from another place what Rebbe's Shita is about this Vav HaChibur. It's going according to Rebbe himself, and Rebbe himself holds that Loshna Kizayit, Veloshna Kizayit, Ukizayit, with a Vav, without a Vav, it's considered to be Pratim. Let me just give you the background on this. What this is talking about has nothing to do with Shavuos HaPikudah. This is a discussion of whether you're Chayiv Kores on a particular case where you were going to eat a Kizayis Chutz L'Zmanai and a Kizayis Chutz L'Mekayman. Now, remember that a Kizayis Chutz L'Zmano is considered to be Pigol that is Chayiv Kores. A Kizayis Chutz L'Mekomo is like Pigel in that it's usur to eat it, but it is not a fi of karis. It's like Pigel in the sense that it becomes an isur lav. Fine. Now, if you said both, the din is that whenever you have two separate statements about I'm going to eat chutz l'zmano, I'm going to eat chutz l'mekomo, you always go according to whatever happened first. Once the pigol was chal as being a chiv on a kores, because it's referring to chutz l'zmanai, then that is what defines the din of the meat of this korban. If the chutz l'mekomo came first, then once the chutz l'mekomo considers this to be a sort of pigol, which is usur but not a chiyav kares, you can no longer make the pigol a chiyav kares, because the general din of pigol is that it has to be totally kosher other than the pigol. But in this case, it isn't totally kosher because there's a chutz l'mekomo attached to it, right? Okay. Next issue is that in the event that you make separate statements, so the nafkamina will be, if you make one statement, so then you've got a mixed pigol chutz l'mekomo chutz l'zmano, which would be the same thing as a pigol that is chutz l'zmano together with a psul of shelo lishma by achatas. When there's another pigam, if there's another pigam, the pigol is chal. If there wasn't another pigam at the same time and it had a chance to be chal, so then it would be chal first and then the other pigam wouldn't be chal. Now look, according to Rebbe, it makes no difference if you say, I'm going to eat a kezayit chutz l'zmano and a kezayit chutz l'mekomo, or you say, I'm going to eat a kezayit chutz l'zmano, a kezayit chutz l'mekomo. Meaning, if whether there is a vav or there is not a vav, in both of these cases, these are considered to be separate statements. And therefore, whichever one came first, that is what is chal. We don't view it as being all one statement. Whether you do use a vav or you don't use a vav, well, extrapolating to our case, the same thing would be true. When we need to define whether a vav makes things into one statement, or specifically the lack of a vav makes things into one statement, Rebbe says neither make it into one statement. If you said things separately, whether you said it with a vav, you addressed each thing, the chutz l'mekomo separately from the chutz l'zmano, I don't care if you used a vav or you didn't use a vav, it's exactly the same. These are separate statements. So again, extrapolating to our case, whether you use a vav or you don't use a vav, what would Rebbe say? He would say these are separate shvuas, and therefore they would be not klolim, but rather they would all be pratim. That explains the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't care whether you use a vav or not, said Shmuel, But I wasn't explaining Rebbe Shita, now was I? I was explaining Rebbe Meir Shita. So if you want to take a look at Rebbe Meir Shita, now turn to the Brisa, and you will see that Rebbe Meir holds what I say, namely that the Vav actually turns it into a klal and not a prat. Huh? So therefore, I've answered all problems. No, you haven't, says the Gemara. I'll bring you a raya from Rebbe Meir himself, okay? You can claim that this is Rebbe. But how about if I show you what Rebbe Meir himself says? Toshma midi day. I will show you what Rebbe Meir says in the Mishnah later. What's the case of Rebbe Meir in the Mishnah later? Rebbe Meir, Omer, afilu chita useora vikosemen. Now take a look at those letters vav that are there. Chayev al kol achat viachat. Okay, so what do you want? You can't get clearer than this. This is Rebbe Meir. You can't tell me this is Rebbe. And Rebbe Meir is saying that with the Vav HaChibur, you're chayim on every single one separately, and that is exactly what Rebbe Yochanan says that Rebbe Meir holds, and it's the opposite of what you claim Rebbe Meir holds. How are you going to get out of this one? Well, about that, I would say it's a misreading. It's only one misreading. I mean, one misreading happens. So, t'ni, chita sora kosemet, without the Vav HaChibur. So now, if that's the case, so then there is really no chiddush according to you here at all. So then why are we saying afilu? I mean, what's he adding, Rebbe Meir? Omer Rav Acha b'Reider Rav Yika. He means to add that even afilu chita, even now the way Rashi learns it is, even if the guy tainas to him, you owe me chita sorava kusmim. He didn't use the Lashon Rabin. That is chita bichlal chitim, seora bichlal seorim, kusemet bichlal kusmim. And therefore, if he says that ein biyado chitim, and it turns out he does have one chita, that's not considered to be that is not like that he was saying, well, I'm being very careful. I said, I don't have chitim. But, you know, I do have one chita. I never said I didn't. Not true. Chita is b'chal chitim. That's all that it's coming to say. That is Rashi's pshat, which is a little strange, because it doesn't really have anything to do with the conversation that we've been having until now about whether the Vav HaChibur is a chibur or not, or is it considered to be all one shvua or not one shvua. It's talking about a totally different issue. Because of this, there's actually a different pshat that the Ramban says, I like this pshat much better than Rashi's pshat. And that is the Pirush of the Rimigash. That if he said, Shvua she'en lecha b'yadei chita, u'se'ora, v'kosemet. But in that case, you shouldn't think that since this guy had said, you owe me chitim and se'orim v'kusmim, that all that the person was trying to say when he mentioned each means separately, was to tell the person, look, I don't have a single chita or a single sa'or, a single kusmin of yours. What the heck are you talking about? Right now, that's a very common response. That doesn't mean that he wants to single out each one. What he's trying to do by reducing it to a single seed is to make light of the whole taina against him. That's all he's trying to say. So you might think that in that case where he specifies not a single and listing each one of them, that he's only coming to give that kind of human response. And you cannot be medayik that means that he's coming down to tell me the pratim of each one. Kamash malan, but no, he's still, even in that case, it's bichlal chitim. He wouldn't have had to define a single one. He would have just been able to say, chita achas is bichlal chitim. And therefore, in denying the overall charge, he's already denying it. If he started talking about each one of them, then his pirut is there in order to be mechayev them on each prat, exactly as it would be the din of chitim, if he had mentioned. We don't say it's different if he says chita. That's a beautiful pshat, says the Ramban, because it links what we were talking about before directly into what it is that Rebbe Meir is saying, instead of introducing some kind of new chiddush, which is irrelevant to what we were talking about before. Okay, let's move on to the case that follows in the Mishnah. Tein li pikadon, tzumet yad, gezel, haveda, sheyesh li biyadecha. And then we have another case of tein li chitim, v'sorim, v'kusmim. So Rabbi Yochanan said that if you've got, remember your minimum that we're going to see is the absolute minimum of the tfiyah over here is it's got to be nogea money, and therefore it has to be a minimum of a pruta. But if you can get a pruta to be mitztarev of these three minim, so between the chitim and the saorim and the kusmim, we have all together, we have one pruta, then that would be enough to be mechayev. You don't need a pruta of each one. Now, the question is whether this is true on all of the cases or only on the opening case of Ein Lecha Biyadi, where it's the total picture. The total picture, fine, if it's all one shvuah, so I understand that then you could be mitztarev. The total argument is about one pruta. Obviously, there's not a chance of a snowball in hell that Rabbi Meir would say that if you've got separate shvuas, that you're going to be able to be mitzarev a third of a pruta worth of kusbim, a third of a pruta worth of chitim, and a third of a pruta worth of sorim. That's ridiculous. I mean, how would he say such a thing? So now what is the question? The question is the same issue that we had before when we were talking about shvuas bitui. When somebody makes a general statement and also it has separate pratim in it, I don't owe any of you, not you, not you, not you. So is the first opening of the statement, I don't know any of you, is that a separate shvua? And the not you, not you, not you, those are additional pratim, but there's always a klal that's associated with the opening of I don't know. That's just I don't know anybody. And then when you spell it out, you're making additional shvuas. Now the question is, what's the total number of shvuas that when you said to the five people, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, was there also a general? How many different shvuas are there about three meaning? Chitim, saorim, v'kusmim. Is there a general shvuah? I don't know anything. And no chitim, no saorim, no kusmim. Or is it just those three? Chitim, saorim, v'kusmim. Now, if remember, we had exactly the same thing way back in Shvuas Bitui. But the question over here, therefore, would be, what was Rabbi Yochanan referring to? Was he referring only to the case of the Kalal in the Mishnah, where he says, I don't know anything? Or was he referring not only to that case, but he was referring even to the hidden additional Shvuah that's in this case? So here, too, we have a Machlokas like we had before. Pligi bar Ravacha v'Ravina. One of them says that there is only three shvuas here on the chitim, sarim, and kusmim. There's only the shvuas on the pratim. There's no additional hidden shvua to cover all of them from the opening of the statement, I don't owe. Aklali lo mechayev. Whereas one of them, we're not sure whether it was Ravach or Ravina, one of them says, Aklali nami mechayev, you would be chayev also on the klal. So according to that, Rabbi Yochanan could have been referring also to the klal, right? Because, I mean, there's a klal not only in the klal of the Mishnah, there's even in a klal in the pratim of the Mishnah. And therefore, what you hold between Ravacha and Ravina is actually going to make a big difference in how you understand what Rabbi Yochanan holds, because they're both going to be included in the klal. Now, the question is, can we really support the shita that is saying that is there's an additional hidden shvua over here? Because there's a braita that came from Reb Chiya, Vatani Reb Chiya, that in the case where you would have five people, let's put together the two cases in the Mishnah. You have five people all claiming that you owe me, and they're all saying you owe me. And each one of those five says, you owe me chita, saora, and kusmi. How many total chiyuvim would the person have if he says to each one of them, I don't owe chitim velo saorim velo kusmim lo lecha velo lecha velo lecha. So Rabbi Chiya says, you owe 15 total korban chataot that you have to bring because you denied all of these different chiyuvim. Now, it's not really, something's a bit wrong over here, according to this approach, because it should not say chataot, it should say ashamot, because we're talking about a shvuas hapikadon here. We're not talking about a shvuas haedus, where it would be a chatas v'noi l'viyare. Okay, so let's change that, as many of the mefarshim do. Let's say that that's just using loosely. But the point over here is that you've got three times the five people. You do not have four times the five people, you see? And that would mean that whoever the shita was, I'm not sure whether it was Rav Ach or Ravina, but whoever said that shita, that there's also another hidden chiyuv over here, is obviously wrong, because here the Braita says it's a total of 15. If there was a hidden one, it should say 20. Ve'im ita, then why doesn't it say esrim? No, that doesn't bother me, because the Tana, the whole point over here is not to tell us how to count. He's trying to tell us, the point that he's coming to say is not really to add up and to count for us. We can count ourselves. What he's coming to tell me is that you would be chayev for the pratim of each one of the pratim. That was the main point. So therefore, Rabbi Chiya's Braita listed the 15. That doesn't mean there isn't another five. There could be another five. He just wasn't, you know, interested in talking about it. So he was talking about the prati. He was not talking about the klalik. You can't say that, because there's another braita, also taught by Rav Chiya, that says there's a total of 20. So if he says there's a total of 20, it could very well be that maybe, you know, in this case, he wasn't interested in telling you the total. But in a braita, he does say there's 20. So obviously, it's clear that there is a hidden one, you know. So the first one was only talking about specific pratim, and the other one is telling you the total. But the bottom line is that there is a hidden extra shvua, which is mechayev an additional five. Otherwise, how do you come up with 20? No. That braita is talking about a different case. That braita is putting together five different people for four different things, which was the other case in the Mishnah, Pikadon, Tzumet Yad, Gezel, Vaveda. Four times the five people equals 20. It was two different prices. One was talking about the case of three different things, Chitim, Saorim, and Kusmim, times five. And one was talking about four different types of Tviot, Pikadon, Tzumet Yad, Gezel, Vaveda, times five. Well, you know, that would sort of explain why 3 times 5 is 15 and 4 times 5 is 20. But you can't make any diukim over here that there's another hidden shvua. Sorry. Okay, so I got a very interesting other question. Okay, you're talking about what happens when we apply the pratim of the type to the pratim of the people. But I have a much more interesting question. All right, so now we see we do apply the levels of the type, and we'll time the five times four times three. But what about this, says Rava to Rav Nachma? What about in a case where there were five people, and they were all claiming, Tein lanu pikadon, tzumet yad, v'gezel, v'aveda, sheyesh lanu biyadecha. But the guy, when he responds, he's going to sit there and spend a half an hour responding. So what he says was, he says to one of them, look, I don't have no tzumet yad, no gezel, no aveda. I don't know what you're talking about at all. And not to you, and not to you, and not to you. Okay, so now, he only spelled out the pratim to one guy, but he seems to be taking what he spelled out to the one guy to be applying to all of the five people, right? So the question is, did he have to spell out the four things to the five people, or could he spell out the four things to one person, and then when he says, and not to you, he's also not just creating with those words a separate shvua for the individual, he's creating a separate shvua for each detail to each individual. Ha! That's a good question, huh? So the question is, when he then says, v'lalacha, 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 mahu, is he, I mean, obviously he's chayev, one of them he's chayev for all of the four types, right? Yes. But is he chayev on all five for all of the four types? What do you say? Maybe even akol chada v'chada, he would be mechayev. Well, we can bring a raya. wasn't that the Chiddush of Reb Chiya in the Braita? Reb Chiya said, okay, that adds up to 20 different karbonas, right? So tell me what the case is. If the case is that he had actually spelled it out, and he told each one of these guys, okay, Mr. A, I don't owe you anything, not a gazela, not an aveda, not a tzomet yad, not a pikadon. Okay, Mr. B, I swear I don't know. I mean, so, you know, so then that's trivial. I mean, what, is Rabbi Chiya teaching us how to count? I know how to count. I don't need Rabbi Chiya to tell me how much 4 times 5 is. So therefore, Rabbi Chiya minyana atalash minan. Rabbi Chiya is just teaching us how to count. So it must be, he's telling us a chiddush. This must be the chiddush. Elalav de lo parish. He didn't say to each one of them. He said it only to one, and it's precisely your case. And that's what Rabbi Chiya was coming to explain. Which proves that even if he extrapolates the different 4 cases to one of the people, he can actually have them apply to all. Now let's talk about the next piece in the Mishnah. So I had a very strange sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And somebody claims you raped my daughter, where there are 2 separate chiyuvim. There's the chiyuv of knas, and there's also the chiyuv of boshes ubgam. So we have sort of, I understand that if there's no din of a shvuata pikadon, where if the guy would be meida and respond to your demand, he would say, yes, you're absolutely right. Do something about it. Okay, so then it would be a motive of knas. But what about if there's another component, which is in this case the boshes ubgam? So fine, so you're not chayev on a shvuata pikadon on the portion of it that was the knas. So what? But there was still a monetary demand also for boshes ubgam. For some reason, very difficult to understand why Rabbi Shimon would say in that case you're not chayev because it's a knas. We're not talking about the knas. So that's what we'd like to understand now. What possible reason would there be to say what Rabbi Shimon says? That because it's a knas, therefore you're not chayev. But what about the part that isn't a knas? I'll tell you. He's saying that the main thing that the person is talking about is he's talking about the knas. That's the main thing that he's focusing on. Why? Because that's the only thing that it says in the Torah directly. Other than that, we have regular dinim of assault and battery, I understand. But when you're focusing on rape, so rape carries with it that special knas. And because of it, the same way today, nowadays, people talk about a rape. Give him the electric chair if he raped somebody. And I don't care if he used a broom handle to do it. I mean, insane people. But there's always something titillating about rape, right? Okay, fine. So now that means that nobody's thinking about, yes, and I'm going to sue you for the fact that my daughter's worth less on the open market. That's not what the guy's talking about, right? He's talking about rape, and he wants the guy to get the chair. So in real terms, he's talking about rape. He wants to get the knas. That's what he's focusing on, because that's what the Torah spoke about. Okay, so that's the ikar is the knas. So I'm a rabbi. Look, you know, I'll give you a sort of an analogy that would make it a little bit more sense. So, Marshal the Rabbi Shimon, if I'm going to make you something that's like a metaphor for this case, a guy says, and the other one says, I don't have any of your chitim. Now, it turns out that actually it's true. He doesn't have any chitim. But he does have Sa'orim v'kusmim. So in that case, since he only swore about the chitim, and what he said about the chitim was true, so then he would be potter. So therefore, here it's the same thing. Yes, there are other things that he's chayev, namely, for the boshes ubgam, that's true. But what he was talking about was about the chamishim shekel. And that, in that, what he was saying, it was true. He does not owe the chamishim shekel, if he's made it. Amalei Abaye, well, that is not a very good comparison. I mean, me dummy. In that case, he denied the whole thing only about chitim and not tzar and v'kuspim. In this case, he denied the whole thing across the board. The kula miltu, the kokor. He said it never happened. I never raped her. So it means I don't owe you anything, not the boshes who becomes the woman. I mean, fine. So ignore the chamishim shekel and talk about the boshes who become. Why doesn't he have to bring? I don't understand. Hello, Damia Lalomer Lachaber. You want a case that is more like your case? You'll see how ridiculous the analogy is over here. Hello, Damia Lalomer Lachavero. And he says, he just swears I don't owe you anything, right? And then it turns out that it's true that he doesn't have any chitim, but he did have sorim v'kusmim. And in that case, obviously you would agree that he is chayiv to bring. Well, that's what happened over here. There is a chiyuv of boshes of gam, and that's what we have to concentrate. So I don't understand, Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry. Ela, so Enochinami, we dumped this. And when Ravin came to Bavel, he said, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yochanan said back in Eretz Yisrael. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Lidire Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's svara is that when the person was making his tfi'ah was only on the knas and not on the boshes v'pgam. So when he said those words, you raped my daughter, those words translate into, you owe me 50 shekel. That is the only thing that he's talking about. He's not talking about any other issues, because that's the one thing that stands out in the Torah. And therefore, if I now say, no, I never did it, what are you responding to? It's true you're saying I never did it and therefore don't owe anything, but that's irrelevant because you are responding to the other person's tfiyah, and that tfiyah is what you're denying. So if the other person's tfiyah was entirely in terms of the knas, so therefore that's all that you're asking. And this is what Rabbi Shimon holds. You weren't thinking about Boshes Ubgamash. Enken, according to Chachamim, you meant I'm suing you across the board. Whatever it is that you got to pay me. Well, so what would they be disagreeing about then? The Micah Miflagate. I mean, you're telling me what Rabbi Shimon is saying. You're not explaining to me what the two approaches would be between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim. Omer Papa, I'll tell you. Rabbi Shimon holds that Lo Shavik Inish Mida the Kitz, Vitova Mida the Lo Kitz. Look, there's two completely separate cases over here. In one case where he's got the civil suit for the Boshes Upgam, there's going to be so much hassle. You're going to have to start getting expert opinion. This guy is going to bring this doctor who's claiming this is what she was worth. He's going to be bringing another expert opinion who's in the slave market, and he can tell you exactly what this girl is worth on the slave market. This is going to be going on for months, arguing in court about, leave that aside. Right now, I want my cash. Where's my 50 shekel? Nothing to discuss about that. So therefore, if you've got something that has a clear-cut claim, you go for it. And you're not going to then start getting involved in Tava Midi de Lokitz, which is a hassle. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, on the contrary, Lo Shavik Midi de Chimode Be Lo Miftar. What, a guy is going to, there's only one component of this case that the guy cannot get out of by admitting that he did it. That is the Boshes Upgam. So why would you focus on the knas, which if the guy says, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, I raped your daughter, so now do something. So now you can't get the knas if he was made it, right? So therefore, it's far more likely that you're not going to let go of the part of the claim that is going to be chal on him, even if he admits it. Why should I only focus Tava Midi Dechimoda Be Miftar? I'll only focus on the very thing that I won't be able to actually get out of him. So because of that, it doesn't make sense that he would ignore the Boshes Upgam, and he must be talking about the whole thing. And now maybe somebody should give a little jolt to Sir Richard. It's been a little slow on the take up lately. Hadron Alach. Shivu atapi kadon. Look at that.
Font in the head of Perek.
Well. Okay. We're on steroids today, I guess, huh? Moving on now to the next exciting Perek. I'll only do the Mishnah, so I won't keep you too long. The next exciting Perek is about Shvuat HaDayanim. Now, the Shvuat HaDayanim, technically speaking, the Shvuat HaDayanim really could mean any Bezdin administered Shvuah. So that would be, what are those shvuas? So we've got the shvuah of Moda b'Miktsas. And remember, the parsha of Moda b'Miktsas is the mix-up parsha with the shvuas HaShemrim about Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. Ki Hu Zeh means, no, this is what I owe you. Don't owe the other part. So that's a Moda b'Miktsas where some of the Taina is correct, and he's claiming the rest of the Taina is incorrect. And because of that, the Gemara says that, look, it's a very suspicious situation over here. The guy is apparently trying to be Mr. Honesty. Yeah, I do owe you this, but I don't know. Let's give him a Shvua. And therefore, we have over here a Shvua d'Oraisa on the Moda b'Miktsas. Now, there are other cases of a court-administered Shvua, which technically speaking is included in Shvuat HaDayanim. And that would be, like we had the case, we talked about a Shvua of an Eid Echad. So where an Eid Echad is against someone, what happens? He has to swear that he doesn't owe. So that would be another case of a Shvua. Shvua HaShomrim, where over there the Torah also was b'chayev him to say, Asher lo shalach yado melechet reyehu. So those are all court-administered Shvuas, true. I mean, it says, Ela Elohim means yes, go to Besdin. But the parak, the way in which we focus on Shvuas HaDayanim, qua Shvuas HaDayanim, is, as the Ron points out, specifically Moda b'Miktsas. The other Shvuas are called what they're called. So we would call it Shvuas HaShomer. We'll actually refer to it as Shvuas HaShomer. Okay. This is just the question of the language of Shvuat HaDayanim. So, what we're going to see in our Mishnah is that there is a tvi'a and there is a kfira. So the part of it he admits, part of it he does not admit. There is a certain shiur, both for the kfira and for the tvi'a. So what exactly are those amounts? What is the shiur? The shiur for the person's tvi'a, the shiur for the kfira, and turns out there's also a shear for how much you admitted you did owe. So there's really three different things we have to talk about. So Shvuat HaDayanim, if you're talking about over here what we call the Shvuas Dayanim, which is the case of the Moda b'Miktsas, the Shvuat HaDayanim, what is the Taina? Well, the minimum claim is actually the Shtei. The minimum, if it's the shtei kesev, so it would be two ma'ot. But he's chayev, that would be the minimum of his field. Let's get this drink or I'm going to be hit. So a ma'ah over here, one ma'ah, remember there's...
You lost sound.
What? You lost
That's
sound?
Better. Now it's back.
So, a ma'ah, there's six ma'ah in a dinner. So, if it's shtei ma'ot, so we're talking about a third of one dinner. Okay, we're going to see that we'll be medayik that value, interestingly enough, from a diak in the pasuk later on. We didn't just come up with this from nowhere. The hoda'ah, how much does the person have to admit that he did owe, that is a minimum of a pruta. So a pruta, that means, and we're going to see in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and the Gemara, that would mean that the way Rav understood the Mishnah is that you have to have the minimum tfi'ah has to be the shtei ma'ot plus one pruta. Because if the person, if we're saying the minimum that he has to be denying that he owes, that has to be two ma'od, and he has to be moda on a pruta, that means that you need to have a total of two ma'od and a pruta. That's how Rav understands it. Because if the kfira is going to be less either way, if the kfira is less than two ma'od, and the hodah is less than a pruta, either one, there would be no chiyav. So obviously the total has to be two ma'ot plus a pruta, and then this person denies owing the two ma'ot, and he is moda that he owes at least one pruta. But otherwise, it doesn't add up. Masha Inkin, Shmuel Tainas, no. The hoda'ah has to be a pruta out of those two ma'ot. And that's all that you need. You don't need to have this separate value that is for how much it is that he was made on. Okay, this we'll see in the Gemara is a completely different way of understanding the Mishnah according to Rav and according to Shmuel. So let me give you an example. In the case, im eino hoda'a mi'imina ta'ana, there's also another very important halacha, which is that we're talking about ki hu zeh. No, this is what I owe, which means that it's not something else. It's less than what you say. But if it's something else that was not what you were demanding, then you would be plata, for instance. Let's take a case where someone says, shtei kesev li biyadecha. And the other guy says, inecha biyadi ela pruta. So when you say shtei kesev, you are not talking about shtei, the shtei mo'ot kesev. Shtei, the meaning of shtei kesev bichlal is you've got two amounts, whatever it is. They're natschas. They're pieces of silver. So these pieces of silver are worth the amount of the shtei ma'ot, but I'm not talking about the actual ma'ot. So I'm talking about a certain amount of silver that has that value. And the other guy says, no, you have an actual pruta. Now, a pruta is made out of what? Copper. And this guy is saying, I had given you silver. And you're saying, I owe you copper. Well, that's not mimina ta'ana. And therefore, you would be potter. If you say, however, you owe me the shtei kesev and a pruta, and then the person says, ein lecha biyadi el a pruta, so then if there was more than one thing and you agree that one of it was and one of it wasn't, that is considered to be mimina ta'ana. So let's say the guy said, you owe me chitim and sa'orim. And the guy says, I only owe you as sa'orim. That's considered to be mimina ta'ana since both of them were mentioned. Monali biyadecha. The guy says, you owe me 100 dinar. Now, that is a coin that's worth 100 dinar in silver. And the guy says, eimecha biyadi at all. So then you're potter. Now, even though we say that you're potter, remember that there's a shvua derabbanan that was later in the time of the Gemara. There was a gezerah that in order to be mefayis the dot of the individual who's walking out of the court without our doing anything for him, we were gozer a new type of shvua, which is called a shvua hesed. That even where you're kofer bakol, you make a shvuah derabbanan. And we'll see later on the differences lahalacha between a shvuah sadayonim diraita and the shvuah hesed, which is a derabbanan. So when we say potter over here in the Mishnah, we mean you're potter, but you're still going to be chayev for the shvuah hesed. So you're potter. B'diraita, you're potter. Manali biyadecha. And he says, ein lecha biyadi ela chamishim dinar. So then you're chayev, because that was half of what the claim was, and it's the same type of thing. Now, suppose a child who inherited a parent says, my father, I'm pretty sure, had lent you, or given you to hold, a mana. So mana la abba biyadecha. And the guy responds, and he says, no, actually, your father did leave 50 dinar, but not 100. In that case, even though it sounds like a classic mode of a miktas, he would be putter. Why? Because of the rules that we call the Good Samaritan rules. Remember that in cases where somebody is returning money to you, and that is a favor, and you claim, wait a minute, there was 100 bucks in this wallet. What happened to the other 50 bucks? There's only 50 bucks in there now. That case, the guy would not have to swear. Why? Because if you can make someone swear for doing you a favor, that is obviously going to be the end of favors, right? So in the same way that nobody goes over to help a person who was hit by a car, that's all I need, I'll sit in jail for the rest of my life, you know, for trying to resuscitate the guy and they'll blame me for murder. So because of that, we have Good Samaritan laws. Kivayocho, Good Samaritan. You know, everything that they're teufis goes is dafka, to be teufis, the language that is against the reality. Fine. Anyway, so in this case, if a child is coming to claim that his father had gave you 100 bucks He doesn't really know. This is hearsay. And therefore, if you just ignore him completely, you wouldn't be chayav at all. You're a good guy, and you say, well, actually, your father did lend me $50, and I'm happy to pay it back. So in such a case, if we'd be mechayev you to make a shvuah, then that would be a violation of these laws. Manali biotcha. How about a case? The guy says, you owe me a mana. And the guy says, yes, it's true, I do. And lamachar, so the next case, this is talking about where there's edim that are there. And because if there's not edim there, we're going to see later on, a person can always say, mishata ani b'cha. But the guy was saying, you owe me, yeah, right, I owe you $100. You owe me $1,000,000. Absolutely, I owe you $1,000,000. Why not? But if there's edim there, then you don't kid around. Then you're nervous that the guy's really going to sue you. So we're talking about over here that he had edim, as we'll see. And the next day, you go over to him and you say, okay, you admitted you owed me $100 yesterday. Could you give it to me? And the guy says, what's the matter with you? I gave it to you. Last night I came over and gave it to you. So then he's potter, because this is like a new tefiyah, and he's a kofer bakol. So in this case, why not? Why wouldn't he maybe have paid it back? But if the next day he denies that the money was ever owed, and he says, ein lecha b'yadi, so then he was ruchzaka kafran, because he already admitted in front of witnesses that he does owe it, and now he's claiming it was never, he never owed it. So then he would be chayev, because even if he would now say, well, I meant that I paid it, that's not what you said. Now, how about if somebody says, manali b'yadecha, and the guy says, true, ein, I do actually owe you. And the person responds to him and says, well, okay, I only want you to return it to me in front of witnesses, now that I have witnesses that you owe it. And next day he comes along and he says, okay, now I'd like it back. And he says, well, I gave it to you without witnesses. In that case, he's chayev, because once the person has told him to give it back in front of Aiden, we don't believe him about claiming that he had given it not in front of Aiden. And therefore, tzarech litno be'edim, and in this case, we will not believe him. It's as if he said, I don't owe it to you. Now, we said that it has to be mimin hata'ana. Now, min hata'ana is a little bit tricky. So let's say a guy says that I have given you an actual litra of gold. So let's talk about a third of a kilo of gold, pure gold, and I gave it to you. And the guy says, no, you gave me a litra of kesef. Well, that's totally not biminatana, and it would be potter. But if he said that it's a dinner zahav yeshli biyadcha, and the other one says, ein lecha biyadi ela dinner kesef, then we're talking about values. We're not talking about the metal. So when people refer to the 25 dinrei kesef, and they call it a dinar zahav, that's just the amount. It doesn't mean that it was actually, you actually had given me a gold coin. It simply means that you owe me 25 dinarot of kesef. So in that case, whatever it is that you say, whatever types of coins, they could be tresiot, they could be pundiot, they could be prutot. I don't care how it is that you split it up. What we're talking about over here is a value and not a metal. In all of these cases, you would be chayev because these are all different matbeot. And what we're talking about over here is matbeot. One matbeah and another matbeah are all part of the same set. Kur tvu'ali biyadecha. So suppose a person asks for an entire kur. Kur is a tremendous amount, 30 saw. And a letech is 15 saw, half of a kur. So he says, I gave you a kur of tvua. And the guy says, no, you only gave me a half of that amount. And it wasn't tvua, it was kitniot. So it was maybe chumos. Over there, your potter. Why? Because kitniot are not a type of grain, and therefore it's not of the min of the taina. But if you said, the guy says to you, kur peirot li biyadecha, he says, produce. Produce can include kitniot. And he said, you only gave me a letter of kidneys. So then that's murder b'miktsas of the same min, hataina. And therefore you would be chayef. Why? Because kidneyt is included in the overall word produce. Tanu chitim v'hodolu b'sa'orin patur. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel holds that Rabbi Gamliel argues on the question of whether it has to be mimin hataina, and therefore he holds that all of what we said before, I disagree, and I hold that you don't need mimin hataina. He's not only arguing on this case, and the pashtas, he's arguing all of the cases until now. Atoin lechaveru bekadesh shemen. Now, suppose somebody says, you owe me 15 jars of oil. And the guy says, I owe you 15 jars, but they don't have any oil in them. So Admon says, okay, that is another example of mixas hataina, because there were two things included in the claim. The claim was oil and jars, and you admitted to owing him the jars. So fine. That would be the same as chitim v'sa'orim, and you were made on one of them and not on the other. So therefore you need to make a shvua. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, no, no. The case of jars does not include the jars. He's basically bringing up something new. Jars of oil is the amount of oil. And therefore, eino hoda'a mimin hata'ana. The guy wasn't talking about the jars at all. He was talking about how much oil. When you bring up jars, that's like shalom mimin hata'ana at all. And, as Rav Gamliel once again says, ro'eh ani et divrei admon. So, if you hold, I personally don't hold that it needs to be mimin hata'ana. But if you guys hold that you need mimin hata'ana, I agree in this case with admon. Let's say, Tano, Kalim, Vikarkaot, Vahoda Bekalim, Vikafar Bekarkaot, or is Moda Bekarkaot and is Kofar on the Kalim, he is Pater, because remember, as we said before, anything that has to do with the Shvua on Karka, the Torah is never Mechayev you, a Shvua on Karka. So Mamela, in this case, if he admits that he does owe Karka, in this case, if he's going to make a Meida b'miktsas, a shvua on the Meida b'miktsas, he, since you need to get to this chiyuv only through hoida on karka, it's considered, even though what you're swearing about is the kalim, it's considered to be a shvua on a taina of karka. So it doesn't matter whether the hoida was the karka or whether the kvira was the karka, there's no halacha of taking a shvua on a taina that involved karka, and therefore would be putter. If he was made it to owing part of the ground, for sure he's putter. But if he is made it to owing some of the kalim, then he's chayiv, because in terms of the tviya of the kalim, you would be chayiv on a motive of miktsas. Why would be this case he's chayiv? He would be chayiv even about the part of the karka. What? Yes, because the klal is, and this is another Gavi rule, and he better take out his slide rule and his pen. Nechassim she'ein lehem achrayut, zokekinet ha-nechassim she'yesh lehem achrayut, li'shava aleihem. You recall that we have a general rule that nechassim she'ein lehem achrayut are able to be mezakek, to be kine nechassim she'yesh lehem, she'ein lehem achrayut are nikness together with nechassim that yesh lehem achrayut, but the opposite is also true, that nechassim she'ein lehem achrayut, meaning metaltalim, which are b'chayev v'shvua meida b'miktsas, if you have to make a shvua b'diraisa on a meida b'miktsas, where the claim was denied about the kalim part, which are the metaltalim, then you would already be mizakek, and it would draw along a shvua on the whole darn thing together, the whole claim, even though we can't initiate a claim. This is the classic case of Gilgal shvua. Gilgal shvua means we can roll along a shvua on something we wouldn't have been able to be mechayev you once we have a chiyuv on something that we can be mechayev you. And therefore, the megalgal and the zokekin lishava aleihem. And the last piece, the Aval nishba'im lekatan ula hegdash. So if a chereshayt of a katan issue a suit against someone, that's not considered to be a legal suit. And furthermore, in a case where there's a chiyuv on a katan who is denying a certain amount that he owes, there's no din of mashbinas a katan because a katan doesn't have the has to take a shvua. Masha'en king, it is possible for us to be nishba to a katan and to hegdash. And what would be the case over there where we are afraid that people are getting together in order to defraud? So what is this talking about? If you had a loan and that loan is backed up by a shibut on karkaot, so the din over there is if the guy defaults, you can go ahead and collect the karka. But we are able, in a case where the loan was due from a katan or from hegdesh, we're nervous that what might be happening over here is that the person is claiming that the money is actually due, and what he's going to do is going to split it when he collects it from hegdesh, or he's going to split it when he collects it from the katan. So it may well be that we have over here people that are admitting that, yes, this money was due and I don't have the money to pay it, but the property that I sold to a katan or the property that I gave to hegdesh was due to back up this loan, and unfortunately, I owe you the money and I don't have any other money. Go collect it from hegdesh or go collect it from this katan to protect hegdesh. Even though you think, well, people are not going to make a kanunyan al hegdesh, are they? They're not going to go take money away from hegdesh by getting together and claiming that the money was owed, even when they know perfectly well it wasn't. They will. And therefore, we protect hegdesh by making a shvua to protect the hegdesh. And we will make a shvua to protect the katan. So even though this seems to violate our general rule that we don't make a shvua binogeya karkaot, we don't make a shvua to katanim, and we don't make a shvua to hegdesh, but we do make a shvua to protect hegdesh and a katan, that the people should swear this was not a previously collected loan that you're just claiming needs to be collected, and now you're going to split it between the two of you. That we will make, even binogeya the karka. Whew! Listen, when you've got a whole prakim being done over a case, course of 2 days, then obviously the amount of information is a little bit heavy that we have to do all in one day. I'm sorry that it takes so long, very sorry. But I don't know if we would do it any faster. I'm afraid that a lot of the details would get lost. So forgive me. You can always speed it up if you want to hear it again at 1.5 or 2. And there's people that have learned to speed it up to 3 and 4. You know, boy, I wish I was one of those. Okay, have a wonderful day, everyone. It's amazing to be with you. And I'm hoping we can get together later. Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov.